Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the third episode of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista here with Kyle Keegan, and we have a lot to talk about today.
Yep, big, sorry we're a day late. Hurricane hit the tri-state area. Unfortunately, Anthony was affected by that. How long have you been out of power, Anthony?
Today marked the sixth day that I did not have power, and we literally just got it back. But right now I'm doing this from my friend's house because it is very, very hot in my house. We didn't really have any air conditioning going for the past week, so it wasn't a very pleasant experience.
That sucks, man. That's awful. But hey, big day. I know, like, the Mets lost. We'll get into that later. The Yankees have been sucking lately. But another hurricane hit New York today, Anthony.
Yes, it did. Why don't you tell us about that, Kyle?
Hurricane hit New York today. Hurricane Alexis Lafreniere. New York Rangers will be selecting with the first overall draft pick this year. They got swept by Carolina in the qualifying round this year in the 2020 bubble format in Toronto. And they won the draft lottery today. And I wish I could play my reaction, but it is too expletive for the pod. So the Rangers are going to be drafting number one overall, probably taking Alexis Lafreniere, and good day to be a Rangers fan, Ant. Really good day to be a Rangers fan.
But Kyle, I've seen your reaction for this whole past week just from everything going on, getting swept by the Canes and that kind of stuff. But hey, I mean, this might be the greatest thing to happen for the Rangers in the past few years.
Man, first time in 55 years they've gotten the first overall pick.
And the last time was somebody that didn't play for the team, so
yeah.
Hopefully it's not the same situation, but you know, I gotta say, as much as I am a Rangers fan, as much as I am very happy that they have the number one pick, I just think that it was a little suspicious, just the entire lottery process. It did look like it could have been a little rigged. I know
what you're gonna say. I know what you're gonna, you watched the video, right?
I did watch the video, yes.
So the guy whose job it is to be dropping the balls or whatever the hell his job is, he dropped the ball in early. And because of that, Long Island, New Jersey Twitter is all over all the Rangers fans saying that it was rigged and that that the NHL had it so that the Rangers would get the pick. I think that it's kind of – I understand why you need to bring it up, man, but I think it's kind of stupid.
I think that it's very far-fetched. It's most likely just a very funny coincidence. But, I mean, look, if you go back to the Patrick Ewing situation when the Knicks won the lottery in the very first one.
That was
one.
Definitely rigged.
No, okay. But, like, look at that situation.
I love the Knicks. I'm kidding.
The NBA, let's say that it was rigged, which it most likely was. The NBA did that for a big market team when ratings were at an all-time low and things weren't looking very up for it, and what better to put one of the most hyped up college players ever at the time in the biggest market in America. So, yeah. You know, I'm not saying that this is an extremely similar situation, but you definitely got some similarities with one of the top ranked prospects in the past few years just coming up now, coming into New York most likely. I mean, I don't think it's possible that they draft anyone
else.
There's
no way they're getting rid of this pick or trading. There's just no chance. But yeah, like, it's looking up. This has got to be one of the quickest rebuilds in sports history. Like, not even like this was a legit complete roster overhaul in these past 2 years. Like, I saw a huge list on Twitter. I'm just going to start rattling off guys in the top of my head they've gotten in the last 2 years. Lafreniere, Kako, Panarin, Shesterkin, they've all that quickly from that contender from the early 2010s. It's been 3 years since they last played in a 7-game playoff series, and they've done a complete roster overhaul, and it seems like they might be back. They might not be in contention immediately, but definitely a huge step in the right direction today. I mean, I was going back and forth, like, should I record my reaction, should I not? I didn't think they were going to win it. I was honestly just hoping it wouldn't be Toronto or Pittsburgh, but, man, that was just – what a thrill. And for the first time in 65 years, New York Rangers are going to be drafting number one overall. And last thing I want to say about this before we move on to baseball is that I pray and I pray and I pray that after the Rangers getting the second overall pick last year, first this year. The luck continues in Madison Square Garden, and the New York Knicks win the lottery in a couple weeks and get that first overall pick. Man, would that be sweet.
Like, look, as much as I would love for that to happen, I don't think the Knicks have the same kind of luck that this Rangers team does. But, you know, Lafreniere, he's coming in. He's going to make an immediate impact for this Rangers team. And like you said, that was probably the quickest rebuild we've seen in the past few decades for any team in any sport. I mean, what, 2 years, not even?
Yeah, just about two years. And they're not. It's not that they're an immediate Stanley Cup contender. It's that they should be at least competitive again now, like they were towards the end of this year. And they just have a very – the pipeline is still cut. Like, they still got prospects coming in hot. It looks good. It just looks good.
With the Rangers team this year, it's not like they were a terrible team. Like, this Rangers team this year was a good team. They were just missing a few components, and that's kind of one of the main reasons why they got swept by the Canes this past week.
Yeah, but, too young, not developed enough. Like, David Quinn, second-year coach this year, I'm sure everyone learned a lot from that complete ass-beating. Like, for say, like, lack of a better term. Like, I'm sure – I mean, those getting smacked 3 out of 4 days and getting swept in a playoff qualifier, it's worth it now. It really is. It's worth it now.
Well, I'm glad to hear that from such a diehard Rangers fan as you. And yeah. I do believe Lafreniere is going to make a very big impact on this Rangers team and the culture around it.
Can't wait for when we record that episode in June 2021. Stanley Cup.
That'll definitely be fun. I'm hoping
for it. Knock on wood. All right. Baseball this week. The Mets were better, but not great. The Yankees completely sucked. Do you want to do Mets or Yankees first, Dan?
Let's start with Yankees. Well, let me give you your time to shine real quick.
Okay. The Yankees split with Philly, which is like, okay. Like, the Phillies are not a bad team. Don't get me wrong. The Phillies are not a bad team. And we talked about before how the NL East has a bunch of guys who they can – There's four teams that can win that division, and maybe even five. The Marlins have looked fantastic, which is crazy, but they have. And the Yankees split with Philly, and then they went into their house of horrors, the Tropicana Field, where they can't seem to win baseball games. And they lost 3 out of 4. Sunday's loss was particularly painful. They had a 3-0 lead going to the bottom of the seventh. Paxton gave up a two-run homer and a solo homer back-to-back. And the Yankees lost 4-3 on a walk-off by a guy whose name I don't remember and who didn't have a hit all year leading up to that point. So the Yankees dropped to 10-6. Reassuring signs here. Tanaka and Paxton looked good.
Definitely.
So Gerrit Cole, probably his worst start of the season so far, and it wasn't even that bad. You can't expect him to be that guy every time. Unfortunately, lost his winning streak, but – I'm not complaining. 10-6. They got the Braves and the Braves Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Sox this weekend. So hopefully they can straighten the ship out. Anthony, anything you saw from the Yankees this week? Like, is the sky falling yet?
Look, I mean, losing 4 out of 5 for any team is something you never want to see. Mm-hmm. It's very fortunate for the Yankees, that's the right word, that they started off so hot. So it's not a huge factor in their record, especially now at the shortened season. But I just think that this is a really quick kind of low spot for this team that they're going to be able to just pick right back up. I mean, they play tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
Got Atlanta tomorrow.
And I think this team is fine, honestly. I mean, look, there's always going to be rough patches. You see Stanton with his injury, kind of. Yeah. You don't know what the certainty is at. But, I mean, look, I don't think that this team is going anywhere. I can't see any other team besides the Yankees being at the top of the AL at the end of the season. So I don't think this is going to be, like, too much of a worry for Yankees fans.
I mean, I'm not panicking by any – like, see, on Twitter, like, you always see, like, sky is falling Yankees Twitter, where everyone just freaks out after these losses. It sucks to lose 3 out of 4 to a team that's chasing you on the road, especially in a shortened season. It really does suck. I can't believe I forgot about that. The Stanton injury, that is egregious, because I am the ultimate Giancarlo Stanton defender all the time. I defend that Stanton plays last year was his first huge injury riddled year, other than the year he got hit in the face and lost all those teeth. But man, he's such a good guy to have in that cleanup spot when he's healthy. And for the last 2 years, man, he just hasn't been healthy. And it's so unbelievably frustrating to watch on a passed ball, just jogging a second and you pull a hammy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, like, that wasn't something very fortunate for Yankees fans, to say the least. But look, I think with the Stanton injury, it's a bit of a setback for this team, but it's not entirely going to ruin them. I mean, look, this Yankees team is full of depth, and you know that, I know that. It's just insane, the fact that both Clint Frazier and Miguel Andujar have been...
It's called up Clint Frazier, by the way.
Yes, yeah. But just the fact that he was on the team already when he could have been starting for somebody else just shows you how deep this team is. This team has so much young potential, so much current star power, where thankfully for Yankees fans, losing one player like Stanton isn't going to be an entirely huge dent to their team's record and their team's performance.
Yeah.
So for coming from a non-Yankee fan, I would love to see that for my team, but I know that that's not possible with the Mets. But just the fact that the Yankees are so deep, I don't think that it's going to be an entirely huge disappointment scenario for the Yankees with Stanton's injury.
Yeah. Listen, I'm from Princeton. Mike Ford, he stepped into the DH role on Sunday. I like him there. Lefty bat in the lineup. You got Frazier as an option now as a DH. Chance to give Judge off, because can't have any Sanchez DH day, like, even though he hasn't been hitting. Listen, the Yankees are in first place. They lead the league in home runs, slugging, OPS, and they haven't even really gotten Gleyber, he hit a little bit better this weekend. They haven't even really gotten Gleyber, Sanchez, or Aaron Hicks going yet. So it's hard for me to be too concerned, but it's just more of like an annoying, like, you got to win that game when you're up 3 in the 7th, you know? It's just like you're watching and you're like, you got to find – like, they found a way to lose, and that's very frustrating to watch, but I agree. Big week, Atlanta, they're coming in, and then Boston, and then I think they have Tampa again, so they got a 9-game homestand coming up, and then after that week, they have the Mets that weekend, so they're going to be in New York for the next 2 weeks, so it's put up or shut up time, short season, you got to find a way to win some games in this next week. But
of course, and I think going into this home stretch, kind of starting with Atlanta, I think those are going to be a few really good games, because Atlanta's what, 11-7 now, I believe. So just a point of, this team is somewhat equally matched, if not at a slight disadvantage against Atlanta. So I feel like this will be a really good game, this really good series coming up. And this Yankees team has a lot to look forward to in these next few weeks.
Yep. Not too much to worry about. We'll move over to Queens now. Do you want to say your piece before we get into this? They lost 16-4 tonight.
Yeah. So, talk about an absolute rout of a team. I mean, look, the Nationals, yeah, 16-4. How do you let up 16 runs? I'm going to just look at this.
Looked terrible for the second time.
Horrible. I mean, you let up 7 runs in the 5th inning. That's just not something that that a team should do right now, especially the Mets. I mean, the Mets have a lot of star power. Not a lot. That's not the right thing to say.
No, I think that's fair. No, I think that's fair to say. They have more than most teams.
Okay. I mean, I don't completely agree, and maybe that's just me being critical of my own team. But the Mets beat the Nationals, I believe, less than a week ago. Yeah, it was 5 days ago, or they won 3-1. They lost 5-3 the day before. But
what was that series? Like, did the Mets win that series when they were in Washington?
It went 1-1.
It was a split? Okay, 2-game set. Gotcha. All right.
But now they're going into New York again tomorrow. Say, I would not be surprised if the same things happen, just because the
Porcello's pitching tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Key thing for the Mets is the key word, I'd say, their theme for this entire season is inconsistency. I mean, you see their series with the Marlins this past week.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 against the first place team.
Exactly. Yeah, you allow, what, I think it was 10 runs over 3 games in the first place team, put up, I believe it was 15. That's just some solid numbers.
Yeah.
And then you lose 16-4 to the Nationals.
And this is the second time the Mets have gotten destroyed at home by a division rival this year.
Yeah, so, you know, it kind of hurts. It kind of hurts. I mean, they lost to the Braves 14-1 less than 2 weeks ago. Seeing this now 16-4, it's not giving me much hope as a Mets fan. Also, the fact that Marcus Stroman announced this morning that he was opting out of the season.
And he was just getting healthy, which is a shame because now that's Stroman. And that trade right now does not look good with Toronto. And obviously, Syndergaard's out for the year. So now you got DeGrom, Mats, who is just not been, has had one good start, one okay, and now two bad ones in a row. Porcello, I think Waka's not, is Waka now hurt, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So.
Look, inconsistency. That's all I got to say right now. I mean, it's terrifying. There's no other way to put it. There's terrifying what this management is doing to this team. What's going to happen? Steven Matz has played a terrible season where it's just inconsistent. There's no other word for it. And it's just sad to see this happening. I mean, you got Cespedes. We talked about that last week, that entire situation where it's just poor management skills and poor communication skills. You got now Stroman coming out, opting out of the season. I'm scared. I don't think that this team can recover from this for at least this season. You got to hope that Steve Cohen is going to be able to buy the Mets sooner rather than later.
I mean, it's a short season. Games where you lose by that many runs at home, like against a division rival, especially in a short season, when you lose like that, that just does something to your psyche. Inconsistency is the word. Alonso still hasn't been to that superstar level that I think we all expected from him. DeGrom's pitching good, well, but he hasn't been shut down twice in a row now, but he's still great. He's going to be there. DeGrom is a guy that the Mets can count on. It's more so the offense.
No, and the fact that DeGrom pitches above average, it should be enough for a team to win games. Because you know what, DeGrom, he hasn't been putting up the same exact numbers as he did the past 2 years, but that doesn't mean he's anything short of spectacular. He's still an amazing pitcher. It's just a point of he's not the only thing that the Mets can rely on to win a game. Because you know what, there's only so much a pitcher can do when you're striking out and popping up balls two out of the three times in the inning.
And not to mention that before out of the four, now the other 4 days, you've got nothing but question marks because Steven Matz, who was supposed to be your number two guy to start the year, is now 0-3 with like an 80 ERA or something like that. Porcello has almost a 70 ERA. He hasn't been as advertised. Waka's hurt. You got David Peterson might be your number two now. He's a rookie and he looked good against Miami, but like Miami's in first place, but they're not like a superstar caliber offense. At least it's too soon to tell. Diaz looks better.
Look, I mean, I was just about to bring that up. I do not have any Edwin Diaz slander for today or this week, which is always a positive considering his inconsistency. And he wasn't as rocky as he usually is. I got to say that, I genuinely think this week was kind of a very bright spot for him where we kind of saw flashes of his old self. And it was nice to kind of see that happening in a situation where he wasn't giving up any runs in the eighth or ninth inning.
Yeah. So, I mean, he looked sharp. He did for three of those starts. And the one that he didn't have his A stuff, he worked out of it, which has to be reassuring in some sense.
Exactly. He's able to kind of push past that sort of slump that he's in. I mean, look, the thing with Edwin Diaz is I never want to get my hopes up too high. And I guess that's my motto for all the sports teams that I follow. But he hasn't been playing horrible. I'm not going to say, okay, he's improved, because I don't think that's true, because it's going to bite me in the ass. But I'm glad that the recent play from Edwin Diaz hasn't been as horrible as it usually is. And
it's good that there's less pressure on him, I think.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure he only gave up probably two hits in the past three times he's gone in, which I mean.
Yeah, he's got a 2.84 ERA. That's not bad.
That's perfectly fine with me. Just kind of do your job and do your job at least half as good as you're supposed to, and that's good enough for the Mets.
And if I'm Luis Rojas, I don't put him back in the closer role yet. Keep him in those mid, low leverage situations until he's got that A-plus stuff. And then maybe you try plugging him back in there.
And plugging in, I'm pretty sure, who was it? Luis Guillorme? I don't know how to pronounce his name correctly, but he was pushed into the closer role. And, you know,
I saw that.
he had a 1-2-3 ninth, which isn't something.
I was raving about that one.
It's not something that you normally see with this Mets team, especially with Edwin Diaz usually at the helm. So having that kind of happen was one of the only bright spots of tonight.
So let's get a positive out of the Mets every game. Get a positive out of the Mets.
Sometimes it's very, very hard. But, yeah, that's the kind of the thing that I have to go with now.
Yeah, so how many more against Washington do the Mets have?
I believe
they've got three more, and then beautiful. They have Philly this weekend. So, division play, Mets got to step up. The Mets got to win some games this week.
Oh, yeah, because right now the Mets are at the bottom of the NL East. They're taking on the Nationals right now. They go to Philly. They're going back to Miami, or they're playing
and
Miami.
And then they have the Yankees,
and then
right?
They have the Yankees. So,
yep.
And then right back, they're playing the Marlins again. So, this is a big divisional kind of stretch for the Mets. Where these games are.
It's put up or shut up time. That's exactly. What it is.
And you know what? If the Mets can't capitalize in these next 2 weeks with some wins, I don't think that there's any coming back from it. Especially now we're pretty much over, not over, but actually, yeah, no, we're about a third into the season, maybe a little less, but.
Yeah, we're like in between a quarter and a third. We're exactly. Like in that. Yeah. 2/7, we'll call it.
Perfect.
All right. Okay, so we have something we need to address as two Knicks fans here that we might not be the happiest about. But we were wrong about the Nets.
How about the Brooklyn Nets?
The Brooklyn Nets are 3-1 since we called them not good enough. We called them a non-playoff team, said they didn't deserve to be in the bubble, something along those lines. And since then, they've beaten both the Bucks, who we said matched up on them in every way possible. They've beaten the Bucks. They beat the Clippers last night. They lost to Boston.
How about that game?
Yeah.
The Nets-Clippers game last night was absolutely insane. I caught some of it in my hotel room. It was just straight-up beautiful basketball. Like, even from both teams. I mean, you saw the Nets outscore the Clippers, but I think it was 20-21 in the first quarter. Clippers kind of came.
45 points in the first for the Nets.
Clippers kind of rallied back in the second and third, and then started a very strong fourth quarter, and then the Nets were able to fend them off. And I think that's this is playoff basketball. I mean,
yeah.
This is definitely top two team in the entire league right now. Maybe top three. I don't know what you want to consider.
The Clippers, they're up there. Like,
of course. So
any way you slice it, the Clippers are a contender, and the Nets outplayed them, and they did. And all those guys, we talked all that smack about, like, LeVert looks good. Harris looks good. TLC looks good. And they won that. They won that Bucks game without Allen, without Harris, and without LeVert. So I'm not saying that the Nets can win a 7-game series against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, no, because I believe that they're playing the Raptors first round.
Right, yeah,
I might
right
be wrong
now
about that.
Up that they're playing the Raptors. But that's so, only they've been playing so well that they worked themselves up to the 7th seed.
Look, I mean – with this Nets team, you saw them a few days ago get absolutely demolished by the Boston Celtics.
Yeah,
and I guess that was kind of a low point for this team where we kind of got our same little vengeance for what we were saying before. But, you know, there's just a lot of high points for this team that I was not expecting. There's a lot of random players that can actually ball that were not expected by me, to say the least.
I mean, they just, like, there's no other way of putting it. They just look good. They just look good. Caris LeVert looks good. I mean, they're playing a lot of minutes.
The fact that, look, Caris LeVert has pushed himself into this leadership role for this Nets team, which I would have never expected to see. And the fact that right now they're going into this playoff matchup with the Raptors, most likely, where it's going to be, I think it's going to be a fair matchup, because you know what? 2-7 seed doesn't really matter right now.
Yeah. Forget about the seeds. There's no home court. What really matters when it's going to come down to for the Nets is if they're healthy, because LeVert probably isn't playing tomorrow against the Magic, I think they lost to the Magic in their first bubble matchup of the bubble. Yeah, they did. So that's big, because right now the Magic are the 8 and there are a few games ahead of them, but there, you got to get to a point where like it's put up or shut up, you know?
Yeah.
And Caris LeVert, if he can stay healthy, then you never know, because he's playing well. Like I could see them taking a few games against Toronto. Like
I don't want to say anything right now, because I was extremely wrong about the Nets the last time we talked about them. So I don't want to kind of jinx that.
Don't fault yourself.
My viewpoint on the Nets has completely changed. I believe that this team could definitely take this Raptors squad to, it's not a game 7 anymore, whatever the situation is in the bubble. Yeah. But I believe that this team can beat the Raptors. Because you know what?
Yeah. Here's the thing about their matchup with the Raptors. Here, you go.
Okay, so the Raptors have pretty much, they're running the offense through Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam.
Right.
You've got a lot of solid role players. You got Van Vliet. There's a lot of people that could spread the floor. They have a lot of options for scoring. They're very good on defense. And that's the reason why.
Very good defensive team. That's
exactly. That's the big thing. So the fact that they're a 2 seed is well deserved. But you're playing this team where if you can lock up a few certain guys and can kind of run the offense past them, this team isn't what it was last year with Kawhi.
Uh-huh.
The Raptors team, as much as they have proved themselves as a contender in the East,
yeah,
I don't believe that this team is going to make it back to the finals.
I don't either. And here's what I was going to say about the Raptors. It's similar to what you said about Kawhi. It's, although like you can make the argument for Siakam or Lowry, they're both very good basketball players. Was Siakam an all-star this year?
Was he? I don't know, actually. That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, I got to check, because now I need to check myself. But, regardless, they're not the same team as last year. They're kind of similar to the Nets in that they have contributions coming from all directions. It's not solely – it's not like the Kevin Durant show. It's not the Kawhi Leonard show. It's going to be a series where it's going to come down to if the depth and the role players, who's going to play better. You know what I mean? And we all know Nick Nurse is a very, very good coach. So I think we might have to give Toronto the upper hand on that side.
Yeah, and I just looked it up. Siakam was an all-star this year.
Yeah, I had a feeling he was, because the East did not have much to pick from.
Look, with the Raptors, I believe that Nick Nurse should be the coach of the year. They put out the candidates, and I don't think he was one of them. But regardless, I think that he proved himself this year to be one of the NBA's top coaches.
He deserves to at least be nominated. Like, come on.
Exactly. Like the fact that he brought this team to the finals last year with one of the best players in the league. And now this year, coming back without Kawhi and still making it to the 2 seed. I think that that's something that we have not seen in a very long time from a coach, especially someone that isn't a big name, like a Popovich or someone in that nature.
Yeah. And listen, like, we're not trying to sound like we're talking down on the Raptors here just because the Nets had a good week. The Raptors got the 2 seed for a reason. Nick Nurse is a fantastic coach. Kyle Lowry is a great veteran point guard. Pascal Siakam is blooming into what could be a possible superstar. But with the way the Nets are playing, I'm saying that if they stay healthy, there's no reason not to think that they can't grab a few games or maybe even steal a series. I like the way they match up against the Raptors better than I would against Boston or Milwaukee, for starters.
Oh, definitely.
Also,
I want to just correct myself. Nick Nurse was nominated for Coach of the Year. So
okay.
Just to show you, So sorry about that. But, I completely agree. This Raptors team is very good. But I do think that the way that the Nets have been playing recently, that they have a better shot. They have a better shot against the Raptors than they do against the Bucks. And I can see them making it to the second round of the playoffs this year.
And yeah, and we'll do a full deep dive series preview when it's finally set in stone with the Nets Raptors matchup. Although it looks like that is most likely going to be the consensus here, but I'm just looking up and down. I'm looking at the Raptors roster and like Siakam's really good, but I don't see any guys here that I'm like thinking like you have to lock this guy up. That's like, you know what I mean? There's not yeah. that one guy, not yet at least.
And look, just to say, this Nets team for next year is going to be so dangerous because, look, you're going to have Kyrie back. You're going to have KD back. You're going to have DeAndre Jordan. They're going to have so many options for next year where if this team can make it this far without those three players as well as Spencer Dinwiddie out, I don't know what they're going to be like next year, but I could definitely see them being a top four, top three seed in this East, especially now with – what, the Bucks, the Raptors, there's not going to be many other teams fighting for those spots, especially with the talent that the Nets have.
Yeah, the Nets, talent's never been – I don't think – for the last few years hasn't been the problem. It's just that the injuries, and we'll do the preview once we get a little closer. Hopefully for the Nets' sake, Caris LeVert is healthy because he's been their best scorer. And having LeVert in there protects Harris in a way. And because – you got to make the thing for the Nets is the offense has to be coming from everywhere. You can't have one guy that's screwing up. Otherwise, the whole system is messed up. So, yeah, the Nets have won two in a row, three of four, and two of them against very impressive wins against very good teams. The one problem with the Nets would be that I could see them having trouble guarding like those top caliber guys like Kawhi Leonard dropped 39 on him in that loss to in the Clippers loss to the Nets. But like we said in Toronto, they don't have a single guy they have to that they are going to be worried about. I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. You got Siakam who they could probably use Jared Allen or their other big men to kind of lock up or kind of not.
Siakam, he's a good scorer. He scored 23 a game, but like, he's not that guy that, like, I really hope I don't have to eat my words here, but I'm not afraid of him dropping 45, 50 points, you know? Like, they don't have a guy like that.
I'm just going to take a step away from New York sports here. How about TJ Warren?
Yeah, I was thinking that too, actually. TJ Warren, he's the leading scorer in the bubble so far.
Bubble MVP, dropping 40 a game.
Dude, he's looked so good. And man, the Suns are 6-0. Booker is 7-0 with that shot at Kylie Jenner.
Look, all I have to say is this is, I think I mentioned this in one of the previous episodes, this has been such an odd season. Just like you have these random teams, like, and I'm pretty sure I said like we're gonna see some really weird upsets and these different teams that don't perform as well as they did, and then teams that kind of were much sleeper picks, if that's really bad grammar, but just the fact that the Suns are 6-0, like you said. TJ Warren's been insane. You have these random players that are going off and having these amazing seasons, and then you have Lonzo Ball putting up 5 points a game on terrible shooting.
Yeah, he was talking smack on Twitter about that to like Bleacher Report when they put up his stats. He's not looked good, but yeah, you're right. Like crazy stuff going on. And sticking with the NBA here, draft lottery now scheduled for August 20th. Obviously, we already talked about Hurricane Alexi and the Rangers. And hoping for the Knicks.
Look, I'm just going to say this right now. I mean, we have another episode before that, so we'll be able to talk about that a little more in depth next week. But
right?
Yes. I don't think that the Knicks are going to have a pick higher than 6. Just with the Knicks luck, just with this.
Where are we like projected, I guess? Like,
let me look that up right now.
I'm looking 1, 2, 3, 4. We're like 7, I think. Maybe okay, 6.
So, yeah, I can't see them again. I don't think that they're going to get top 3, top 4. And just like.
We got top 3 last year and we got RJ Barrett. And RJ Barrett's a good player, but man, it would have been nice to get Morant or Zion and had that franchise caliber. Like, yeah, that's the guy you build around. Because the Knicks, let's face it, the Knicks, we don't have that yet.
Like, you know, I I could
until
so
somebody steps up, it's not fair to say that we have that guy yet.
That's fair. That's fair. But just watch the Knicks get. I can't. I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks get something like the 7th pick or something like that. And you know what? That may not be the worst possible thing for this team. I mean,
what's the worst they can get? The 8th?
I think it's either 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Which honestly isn't terrible. Like, that's not the worst possible thing. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 9.
Okay, so we'll dive more into this next week, but if we had the number one, who is it?
I feel like you gotta go LaMelo.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. I was hoping, I mean, I wasn't sure if you'd say Anthony Edwards, but I agree with you. It's gotta be, like, just for the pure chaos that is New York Knicks basketball, you have to take him. Like,
yeah, I mean, and look, that's going to fit so well in New York. I mean, you have the big market. You have LaVar Ball coming in.
I think LaMelo, and obviously, like, I'm going to say this, but he, I think, is the best one out of the three.
Oh, completely. Completely.
Right? He, or most Anthony potential, Edwards. At least. Like, come on. He's been playing professional basketball since he was our age.
Exactly. And that's crazy. So the Knicks have a 9% chance of getting the number one overall pick. They have a 37.2 chance of getting a top four pick, which is ranked 6th out of all teams. So with that luck, I could see us getting the 9th pick. But
yeah,
we'll go more into depth with that next week.
Yeah. I guess next week we'll probably be talking a lot about that draft lottery.
Yeah, definitely.
Have to put out an emergency. If the Knicks get the number one pick, we'll put out an emergency, like, 25-minute episode Thursday night talking about the Knicks.
All right, so unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. We have a bit of a shortened episode today. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you guys tune in.
Limited resources, you know?
There you go.
Storm. We got the better hurricane came today, though. So.
There you go. Storm for a storm. Anyway, thank you all for listening. I'm Anthony Evangelista. This has been Kyle Keegan, and this was the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, guys.